Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey toward truth, traveling through our dreams and inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All aboard All Roads Lead 65 Max with Pamela Henderson.
BBS Radio All Road 65. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. Please follow me on my IG, Pamela H. Inspires Jewels, Patreon.com, All Road 65, and subscribe on the website by visiting allroad65max.org. Today, my special guest is Sarah Lipton. Sarah Lipton was born in London, England. Sarah has written 3 volumes of short stories. 3 of her stories were broadcast on the radio. Sarah has received an award from the Poetry Society in England for some of her poems, such as Stagnation, that was shortlisted in the National Anthology Poetry Competition in 2005. Her poem, Wishful Thinking, was printed in Great Britain. Sarah was featured poet in the Bareback Lit magazine in October of 2012. She has also written a play, a children's book, film scripts, and song lyrics. And to top it off, she was awarded and commended certificate for her song, I Wish, from the United Kingdom competition in 2016. This phenomenal woman who has written 2 educational textbooks, Sarah holds honors of a BA, LLCM, and a FRSA. She is currently completing her first novel. Please join me for this extraordinary conversation as I welcome Sarah Lipton in today's discussion, A Greater Cause. Hi, Miss Lipton, how are you?
Hello, Pamela. Thank you very much for inviting me as a guest onto your show.
Yes, ma'am. As you know, my focus is my mission statement, and that is to help create a quality of life through social growth by inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with corporations, the school district, nonprofits, professionals, judicial system, donors, sponsors, volunteers, and the community and abroad. So tell me, Ms. Lipton, tell me about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in London, England, where I still live. I've always lived in London, apart from in my very early years. I lived for a short while in Kent, which is one of the counties just outside of London. But apart from that, I've always lived in London.
Oh, so you was born and raised in London, huh?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So what interested you to become an author and a poet?
Well, ever since I was a child, I always loved reading. I always loved literature from when I was a child. And my creative ability was discovered when I was 7, teachers realized I was very good at writing and at English. I always got top grades for that subject. And when I was 13, a poem I wrote called The Nightmare was hung on the wall. My teacher, Miss Sellers, she hung it on the wall because she thought it was so good. And I was putting for the exam, the school leaving exam, which is the O level in this country. They're now called GCSEs, but at that time it was O levels, when I was 15 for English language, because I was above average. And from my experience, I realized that reading greatly really does help children achieve high grades at school. And then if you read as a child, you will continue reading as an adult because you have really developed an appreciation of books. So I would encourage all children and teenagers to read. And in fact, research has been conducted and it has found that reading fiction really reduces anxiety, depression, and also it lights up the pleasure areas of the brain. So it's a healthy way to actually pass your time rather than drug addiction or other things, alcohol, that people sometimes turn to in a crisis. And unconsciously, when you read, you subconsciously, you were actually taking in the syntax of sentences, how sentences are arranged, grammar structures, and also spelling, because you must have experienced it yourself, Pamela. You write a word on paper and you think to yourself, that doesn't look right. It's because the brain acts like a camera. So for all these reasons, it's important. And of course, in every school subject a child does, you have to be able to read, whether it's biology or history, you have to be able to read and understand for every subject.
I do agree. And that just brings me to my next question that was for you, because I was going to ask you, what will be the biggest challenge for a person filling this position to become an author or a poet?
Well, the biggest challenge, well, in England, it's the British publishing industry. It's still about 98% white. So therefore, if you're from an ethnic background, as I am, it's very difficult to break in. It's difficult for women as well, because the majority of authors published in England are men and white men. So therefore, why, if you are what I am, I'm black and I'm a woman, you've got a double handicap, and it should not be, these should not be handicaps. If you've got the talent, you should be able to break in and get ahead. But that's not how it is in England, unfortunately. It's still a very closed shop, and there's been a lot of criticism, even recently, about the lack of diversity in the British publishing industry. It not only refers to the authors that are promoted, but also to the people who work in the industry as literary agents, editors, and in other areas. It's really appalling. So what has happened, there have been a few small presses that have arisen in England that cater for people from black minority ethnic groups, authors from those groups, so that they can get a foot in the door. Because, you know, different stories need to be told, and readers don't want the same type of stories from a white male perspective, because a lot of novels written by men, that the major characters are usually men, not women either. And, you know, it needs to change. So it is changing, which is good, but it's still slow.
Right. And especially with everything that's going on right now. And I am also a black American woman as well. And I get it, and I understand that, and I'm also striving for the same thing. I believe in diversity, and I believe in democracy. And as a, as a black African-American woman, it's very important for us to be able to present our passions and talents in a positive way. And that is what I teach through my foundation as well. So how do you come up with your ideas when writing your poetry?
Well, most of my poems is from life experience. And some it's from observation about life in this country, because later on in this interview, I can read one or two of them as well, so that your listeners can hear some of them too. Because a lot of the poetry I write, they're what I term societal issue poems about poverty, homelessness, and lack of opportunities, because I feel passionately about that. I hate inequality. I hate the fact people are being kept in poverty because they're not given opportunities. England is very much a country that's still in medieval times, whereby you have all these titled people who are born into wealth, and they don't necessarily have talent, but because of their luck of birth, they have all this easy money. And you've got others who strive to get ahead who don't, especially if they're from black ethnic minority backgrounds in England, and they're kept back, even though they may have gone to university and got a degree or postgraduate degree. It's absolutely appalling. And the Black Lives Matter movement and George Floyd's death, it was very strong here, and we felt greatly about what was happening in America as well. and injustices that have gone on there, such as police brutality, goes on here, because a lot of men in prison are black men here in this country as well, and they're denied opportunities. You know, quite a lot of the men grow up in poverty, denied opportunities, stereotyped as being muggers, and there are also other negative stereotypes. And, you know, people are just held back. And it's just wrong. England is not in the 21st century, unfortunately. It really isn't. Too many people are just held back. It's not a meritocracy whereby you get ahead because of your talent. You get ahead because of who you know, and that's wrong. At least in the States, what I like is that you have a lot of self-made people who rose from real poverty, such as Ray Charles and others. And I mean, I've watched the film about him, Ray, and he grew up when there was segregation even. And he managed to get ahead. And when you think of Dolly Parton, people, oh, that rose from real poverty, you know. But here, you do get self-made people, but it's not as great as in America.
Right. Right. I totally understand. And so you have spent, like, what we say, just almost like a decade, huh, in England, in London, rather.
Well, I was born in this place.
I was born in the
60s, if you must know the decade. I was born 64, so I've lived all my life in this place.
Right.
I was born in the decade of real change. I've written a poem actually called the 1960s. I had to actually Google the main event because it was the decade of my birth. Because I've written some decade poems, one called the Glorious Twenties, about the 1920s, the jazz age, one called the 1960s, the 1970s, and Thank You, Mrs. Thatcher, which is about Thatcher. And actually, what made me laugh about Thatcher, I always regarded Reagan and Thatcher as having the marriage mm-hmm. that never was, because they were just so close. Thatcher was like Reagan's puppy. She agreed with everything he said.
Right. So what do you think makes a great poet, and how do you come up with the titles of your poems? As you stated, it would be just life experiences?
Well, what I do, mm-hmm. a lot of the poems are based on my life experiences or my observations of living in England. And then I write down the title first of all, because then it makes me focus on what the content of the poem will be. And then I don't think of all the technical aspects such as rhyme, rhythm, imagery, whatever. For me, the most important thing is the content. What is it about? Because it has to be strong in order to really attract people to want to read it and to be able to connect with the poem. And then I think of the technical aspect of it. You know, I write songs as well. I'm a songwriter, so for me, a lyrical quality is important, because songs require that, you know, a lot, you know, especially rhyme a great deal. So my poetry isn't like a lot of contemporary poetry, which has actually moved very much away from rhyme. And, you know, I don't go for writing prose poetry whatsoever. So I just think of the content. That's the most important. And me getting across my feelings in the poem as well.
Right, right. So how can a person harness to become a poet?
Sorry, how can somebody?
So how persevere? Can a person harness that, yeah, that gift to become a poet?
Well,
in your
I
opinion?
Would say that, yes. Well, firstly, people of school age concentrate on mm-hmm. English at school, because in English you do literature. So focus on that when you're analysing poetry. What has the poet used? What poetic devices has the poet used to make the poet good? You know, and because children do this at school, they learn how to analyse poetry. And then when you've left school, or if you didn't like school and didn't really attend much, you can always go to a literature class to actually read poetry and appreciate it. And also another very important thing to do, if you want to be a good writer, you need to read literature mm-hmm. as well. The two go hand in hand. So it's always good to read literature, novels, poetry, short stories, the lot, because I don't happen to just write poetry. I've written short stories and I've begun a novel. But even if you just stick to one genre, it's still good to read other genres so that your brain gets used to different types of writing. And you take it in subconsciously as well when you read, because most great writers, they all read a great deal, because that's how you actually develop your craft, by reading as well.
True. That is so true. Absolutely. Okay, well, on that note, we are going to take a slight break and we will be right back.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back to BBS Radio All Roads 65. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson, and I have my special guest, Miss Sarah Lipton. We are discussing today's topic, A Greater Cause. I always ask myself about, what is cultural diversity? Cultural diversity is the presence of various cultural and ethnic groups within a society. It also is called multiculturalism due to drivers like immigration and economic globalization. Cultural diversity is a hot button topic. How does it manifest in society? There are two main theories, the melting pot and the salad bowl. Both these theories are simplified versions of reality. It's not as if societies wholeheartedly embrace one another. No. They're still worth knowing about. Ms. Lipton, do you believe a person's present situation and future inspires them to write poems and give clarity to their lives?
Yes, I really do feel that people can really express how they feel through poetry, and in fact through other forms of art, such as in paintings, you know, novels, short stories, plays, all forms of art. I really do feel so.
Because
you can, because if you read, for example, poetry, you can actually feel the pain of the poet. If the poet is feeling very upset or angry about certain issues. You know, I read actually some of the poetry of Paul Laurence Dunbar about a month ago, and I was very moved by what he said in his poems, because he mentioned about slavery and how dreadful that was, and you know, it made me really feel, you know, feel really for what he went through. Even though I never met him, and I live in a different time to him, because he lived in the 19th century. So if poetry is powerful, the reader will feel a great connection to the work. And it, as I said, it goes for other forms of literature as well.
Wow. So have poetry ever, when you were reading, has it ever made you a little emotional? Because, you know, it can really get like really, really personal with a person when someone either is speaking or when you're reading.
Yes, I mean, as I said, with Paul Laurence Dunbar, I really felt for him, because, you know, he experienced that life, that dreadful existence.
Right.
You know, and, you know, and I was very pleased, actually, because I read up about him after I finished reading his poetry, and I was really pleased. He became known as America's national poet, the first African-American poet to really have such status, and I was really pleased. And it was quite amazing, because I found out that, you know, he lived during a time when the racism in America was terrible, yet he had a lot of white readers, and there were a lot of white Americans who bought his poetry. which is quite ironical, really, for the time he lived in. And he wrote some of his poems in dialect also, and that didn't deter people from buying his work who weren't familiar with the dialect.
Okay. Throughout my personal life, I have gone through many challenges and obstacles. However, I am still moving forward, experiencing life changes in my professional life that are not unavoidable in the workplace. I call these changes process and growth changes, including failure that has been positive and negative. How can I grasp my experience and write a poem to that effect?
Well, I mean, you know, life experiences really can be used advantageously in writing, even if they're negative life experiences, because the best writing is always that written from personal experience rather than something that you don't know anything about.
Right.
So, yes, you can. I think the way to start, I think, is to just write down some key words about an experience and then take one life experience rather than deal with two in a poem. It's always good to stick to just one life experience, and then you can write about it, and you'll find that the words will flow, because if you've really experienced something personally, it's easier to write about than if you're writing something that's alien to you.
Okay. It's like, so my next question was, what is the purpose of the poem? So you really putting all that together, and that is how you come up with your script, correct?
Yes, I mean, it's a combination of writing from personal experience, writing about something you feel strongly about, and most things that people feel strongly about would be from a personal experience, and then putting it down on paper, and because then you've got the content, and then of course how poetry differs from a work of fiction is that you then have to take into account the rhythm and rhyme and imagery and figures of speech as well. And in poetry, unlike a novel or short story, one word can actually denote so much. Because I used to give private tuition to children and teenagers. I used to prepare them for the GCSE English Literature exam, which is the exam they take at 16 before leaving school here. And they always struggled to understand poetry. They were fine with novels and short stories. It was the poetry, and I would say to them, it's because meaning is condensed so much in poetry. One word can mean so much. So I would actually dissect the poem apart and simplify things, and then they were fine. They were able to understand the poetry. I mean, I had a girl of 12 who was studying Shakespeare's sonnets, which is a very young age to start studying Shakespeare's sonnets.
Beautiful. So getting to the good part here, Ms. Lipton, tell us about your book, the first collection that is available. Yes.
Well, it's called the first collection because it's the first volume of poetry that I've had published. And actually, my full name is Sarah Lipton Sidibe, S-I-D-I-B-E-H. That's my full name. And the first collection is available from a lot of websites, actually, but I'll mention the main ones. It's available from Amazon UK, the Book Depository website, Walmart.com, which I should think especially American listeners would go to, and also the Waterstones website and the Foyles website.
But tell me about the
shipping is free. Yes.
Sorry
the
about
collection.
That. But Yes, tell me about the first collection, a little bit about that particular, what about that book? What made
Yes.
it?
Well, yes. I'll read you the blurb on the back, first of all.
Okay.
Spanning the ages across Britain's colonial landscape, Lipton City Bay explores not only the body, but the body politic. With unflinching intimacy, Lipton City Bay illustrates the vagaries of aging and loving in a body caught by endless possibilities and boundaries. Through the same critical eyes, she undresses Britain's colonial past and criminal present, laying bare society's ills and iniquities.
Wow. Okay. That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
It's divided into sections because I've written so many poems, so they can actually be categorized into various sections. There's the first category is the world we live in. These are societal issue poems about inequality, poverty, oppression. Then there's
Right.
another section called love and relationships. Then the seasons, nature, and the environment. The body, and the last section is the past, which contains my decade poems, and there's also a poem about British colonialism, also slavery and legacy of empire. And so there's a mixture there. There are very serious poems, but also it's balanced with there being light-hearted poems as well, because I ha there's a light-hearted poem in the body section called Drooping Melons, which women who have very big bosoms would experience. They're so heavy that they droop, and there's no muscle to give the bosoms uplift. So there's a real mixture. Can I read one of them
Yes,
so that your
ma'am.
listeners can hear? I'll read the 1970s. That was the decade of my childhood. I like the 70s. It's about the major events that occurred in Britain and America in the 1970s. The 1970s, platform shoes, long hair and flares, tank tops, maxi skirts and bright shirts, Slade, Sweet and T-Rex topped the charts, as well as the Carpenters, Mudd and Gary Glitter. People didn't seem to have a care, but then there was the 3-day week. Britain joined the EEC. Some felt this shouldn't be the path that the country followed. Decimalisation changed the currency. Heath clashed with the miners and they went on strike. Bombs were exploding in Northern Ireland. And the USA was still in Vietnam, wanting her to become like Uncle Sam. Nixon was disgraced by Watergate, was replaced by Gerald Ford, and the Cold War was abated by détente. Love Story was on at the cinema, new faces made unknowns into stars, and Shaft was a TV hero. Muhammad Ali won many fights, and he talked on Parkinson about the Nation of Islam. At the Munich Olympics, some Israelis were shot dead, but the games continued nevertheless, although the Israeli tragedy was publicized greatly by television news and the press. Arthur Ashe was the first black player to win Wimbledon in 1975. Borg dominated the game in the mid and late 70s, while Olga was the prodigy of gymnastics. Her performance was filled with so much drive. The Beetle was in vogue, and so was the chopper bike. And then there was a craze for the skateboard, which some parents couldn't afford to buy their children. Punk blasted like a rocket onto the scene. Spiked hair and piercing became the fashion, and punks appeared on TV who didn't sing but screamed. Some felt that they were really obscene. There was the Silver Jubilee when many held street parties, but this time of glee was ended by the winter of discontent, and Thatcher and the decade of greed was on the horizon.
Beautiful. Wow. The short stories you have written. When I had
Yes.
visited the website, what had caught my attention,
Yeah.
Miss Lipton, a journey
Yes.
into fear and fantasy. Please
Yes.
elaborate about that.
They are a collection of supernatural and dark tales. I actually wrote them when I was 23. It's taken a long, long time to get them published. I mean, I had some broadcast on the radio in the 80s. I'm actually waiting to hear from a publisher. I'll be hearing later this month regarding getting them republished, because the publishing company, it was a very small publishing company run by just two people. They no longer exists. They told me they couldn't compete with the big publishing companies. This is what happens sometimes with small presses. They don't have the resources to be able to survive. So I'm waiting to hear from a publisher who I hear from shortly regarding getting them republished. But no, they're dark fantasy tales. For example, I'm just looking at them now. I have, there's one called The Rota, which is based on a fairground I went to when I was a child. It was in Battersea Park, which is near me. There was a ride called the Rota. You went in it, and the floor then went down, and you were stuck to the wall with a magnet held you secure to the wall, and the floor went right down, and people could sit in and spectate as the Rota whizzed round. And I remember I was only 9 at the time, and I went on that ride, and I remember my mum watching me when I went round. And I think back, I thought the floor, that the magnet may have become loose and I could have actually fallen off. So in the story, it actually happens. The people who go on the ride, they fall into this big abyss because the floor hasn't come up. And it happens. The man who runs the fair did it deliberately because he no longer has the funds to keep it open. So the person who owns the land says, tells him he can barter anything. So he decides to have all these people killed in the Rota, and he barters their dead bodies in exchange for keeping his fairground open. So they've got a dark undertone, a lot of the tales.
Wow. I always say, the measure of a great leader has much less to do with how you define your role. It is more about their actual impact on others. Qualities of a great leader who will have resilience, transparency, and emotional intelligence are the main factors that make a successful leader. And I do believe poets are individuals who has this powerful gift is good for the human race. Being able to give clarity and to help others to understand their awakening is what the world needs. I thank you, Ms. Lipton, for sharing your gift. We are going to take a break.
BBS Radio.
Greetings and welcome back to BBS Radio, All Roads 65. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson, with my special guest, Sarah Lipton. We are discussing a greater cause. We are also celebrating, for the month of March, Zero Discrimination Day. Zero Discrimination Day is celebrated globally on March the 1st, every year, so that everyone lives life with dignity, regardless of age, gender, ethnicity, skin color, height, weight, and so on. The symbol of Zero Discrimination Day is the butterfly, firstly. Since March the 1st of 2014, the UN has celebrated this day. Ms. Lipton, you still with me?
Yes,
getting
I'm
back.
I love the music during the interval.
Oh, thank you. So getting back to the short stories you have written, tell me about the story Recarnation.
Yes, the reincarnation. I thought to myself about the Hindu belief in reincarnation and regarding the fact that we come back to Earth. We could come back to the Earth as an animal or as an insect, depending on how we had lived life on this Earth previously. So I thought, oh, I want to write a story with that as a theme. So I wrote the heading The Reincarnation. So it's about a girl, a little girl, who is given a pet parrot who really irritates her, and she poisons the parrot. And she ends up getting killed in a car crash. And then she's reincarnated as a bird, the animal that she actually hated when she was alive. And then she's the bird or she becomes the bird of her parents. And so it's got this twist to it, this ironical twist
wow.
to it.
Okay. And what about the story, The Ordeal?
Yes, The Ordeal is about a boy who joins the gang to belong because he doesn't have much home life, which is, well, in England, there are over 200 gangs in London alone, and some gang members have mentioned they never see their parents, and the gang becomes a family. So for the main character in that story, it's like that for him. And I wrote this actually years before you had all the emergence of gangs in London. So he joins a gang to have a sense of belonging, and then he has to perform a ritual in order to be accepted into the gang. He has to go to a church, climb up all the steps and hang from a rope holding one hand, which he failed the first time, but he succeeds the second time. And there's a second story that intertwines with the main story about a girl who has a nightmare about being almost killed on a roller coaster, but it becomes reality. And she actually is terrorized by the gang that the boy in the main story joins. And the girl eventually dies, but the boy succeeds in becoming a member of the gang, but he doesn't know about this history, that they were responsible for the death of a girl.
Wow. Now
that was one of the ones that was broadcast on LBC Radio. That was broadcast, and The Reincarnation was broadcast.
Right, those two. That caught my eyes. Just the title, and also the feeling of the title. I thought it was, you know, it really like stood out, and I'm looking forward to reading those two. I think that would be good. No, those are called just short stories, correct?
Yeah, The Journey into Dream Fantasy, they're short stories. I'm waiting for them to be republished because, as I mentioned earlier, it was published by a very small press, which was only run by two people, because there are publishing companies that only run by one person or two at the most. And then you've got the huge ones, such as Penguin Random House, that have a huge workforce. And the small presses, they don't have the resources to remain in existence, unfortunately, so some of them go under. So I'm waiting for those to be republished, but the first collection, the volume of poetry, is available from the websites that I mentioned.
Okay, that's good to know. Yes, I was also reading when I was on your website, and you stated that through the same critical eyes as it was stated, you undress Britain's colonial past and criminal present, laying bare society's ills and inequities. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yes,
I'm looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Amassed a huge empire through brutality and oppression of other people, and exploited those countries. And as far as I'm concerned, we have the legacy today still. The Commonwealth has done nothing for former British colonies, because Barbados will no longer have the Queen as head of state from November, and Jamaica is campaigning to not have the Queen as head of state. Because unfortunately, all these countries, Britain acquired them through brutality and through evil acts, such as the emergence of the plantation system in the Caribbean. And, of course, in the America, when you had the 13 colonies, such as Jamestown in Virginia in 1619. So, you know, I undress that and I criticize it because it caused such cruelty, oppression and suffering. And we have the legacy still today. A lot of the former colonies are poor and they're in debt to the IMF. And a country such as Ghana, for example, produces all the cocoa that this country wants to make chocolate and other confectionery, but the wealth isn't returning there. So we have still a form of imperialism, economic imperialism going on that is keeping many of these countries poor. And it's just wrong and it's unjust. And even before England began with oppressing non-white people, it oppressed the Scots, Welsh and Irish. You know, because England has always been the dominant nation out of the four nations that make up the United Kingdom. You know.
Right.
So,
yes.
I just hate such inequality, such cruelty and injustice. For example, if any slavery film or documentary is shown on the TV, I don't watch it. Because, you know, black history is more than just the period of slavery. There's the period before. And there's the period right. after. And too many, there have been so many films on slavery. For example, Antebellum, I didn't watch. Because there's been too much of that. What about the period before slavery as well? You know, what about the greatness of African history and that of the diaspora? You know, and it just annoys me. And one of the poems I have is called Colonialism. I mean, I'll read it if you'd like me to.
Sure.
Yes.
I have a couple of minutes. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. This is about, of course, England's expansion overseas, but it began with the Celtic people of Wales, Scotland and Ireland, first of all. Colonialism. The monster lurches over the begging dog across the Irish Sea, imposing its evil ideology of subordination and slavery. The monster encroached on Scotland and Wales, spitting destruction everywhere, killing kings and slaughtering the innocent. The monster bellowed and the world became pink. It now wore a crown where the Union Jack was put down. It sneered and snatched, becoming rich from greed, while the tortured were left in poverty if they didn't die of disease. The monster created one of the richest economies, while people perished and died like flies in the exploited colonies. That Union Jack ransacked, but it's about time, monster, you gave back to all those countries drained of wealth which nurtured your health. You term these places third world, but contrary to what you believe, they were advanced societies before you appeared with your guns and your missionaries, your shackles and inhumanity. Your sterling is stained with blood from centuries of cruelty. Reparation should be given to these pillaged lands, which put millions into your evil hands.
Wow. So, Ms. Lipton, tell us how someone can purchase your books and read your short stories and how to contact you.
Yes, well, first of all, regarding the poetry, the first collection, it's Sarah Lipton, City Bay. Mm. By the way, City Bay is my father's surname, and Lipton is my mother's surname. I
okay.
carry them both. So the first collection can be bought from the Book Depository website, and on that website, the volume has been reduced by about £1.50, and it's free shipping worldwide. So that's
okay.
a good site to go to. Also, for American listeners, because I assume quite a lot of American listeners would go to walmart.com. It's available from there. Also, Amazon UK, Foyles and Waterstones. Regarding the short stories, they're not available yet, I mean, it's showing on the Waterstones website, but I'm waiting to have them republished.
Okay.
And regarding my email address, if anyone wants to contact me, it's because I just set up a new one specifically just for people who'd like to get in touch with me regarding my book. It's Lip Sarah, L for Lead, IP for Peter, Sarah with an H, 286 at AOL.com. That's Lip, L-I-P for Peter, Sarah with an H, 286 at AOL.com.
Great. I didn't even think that AOL was still existing. That is good to know.
I just set it up recently so that, I mean, if people want to get in touch with me, I just have a separate email so I can respond to people who want to contact me.
Yes, that would be great. Ms. Lipton, what can we expect from you in the future? Are you going to write more interesting books or plays or music?
I'm focusing on getting some of my songs produced and then placed in films. And I'll be focusing on getting a second volume of short stories published, which will be called Psychological Tales. Each of the main characters has a phobia, such as agoraphobia or claustrophobia. So that's why they're called Psychological Tales. And then also a second volume of poetry called Poems Social, Satirical and Political, which just focus on my poems about societal issues and political poems.
Great. That's
beautiful. And I'm working on finishing my novel, 14 Bench and Grove. Also, if people want to listen to some of my poems, they can listen on Spotify, Stitcher, and some other platforms, Apple Podcasts. They'll be available, I think, from the day after tomorrow, because I just recorded myself reading some of them, reciting some of them. Because there are people who like listening to poetry rather than reading it.
True.
Because
that
poetry,
is true.
Unlike a novel or short story, doesn't have a plot or characters to draw you in. Therefore, some people like hearing the voice to bring the work to life.
Great. Ms. Lipton, it has been a pleasure having you on my show. Do you have any last-minute comments you want to say?
Yes, I want to thank you very much for allowing me to be a guest, and I really do think it's great what you're doing, your non-profit organization, to help teenagers who have experienced real hardship in their lives, because as we both know, the teens can be a difficult time anyway with hormonal changes, and then you're between childhood and adulthood, so you know that can make things difficult, and also the pressure of studying, preparing for exams when you're at school, and then other things that go on in school, because in England a lot of children have experienced bullying, and quite a lot of teenagers in Britain now have got mental health problems because of the long lockdown that has been imposed here, and grooming online. So, you know, teenagers have got a lot to deal with, you know, and I really admire what you're doing to actually really improve their lives so that they can have a bright future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, very important. We are celebrating this month as well, International Women's Month.
Yes.
Yes, we all should celebrate a girl or a woman. I'm going to end this with, please visit allroad65max.org, or you can contact me by reaching me at allroad65max or patreon.com allroad65max. Or you can have the opportunity to be interviewed with me. Join me here on BBS Radio All Roads 65 and stop by and follow me on my IG, Pamela H. Inspires Jews. I am always in need of great mentors and volunteers to help change the lives one day at a time. I leave you with this quote of the day. I am an excitable person who only understands life lyrically and musically, in whom feelings are much stronger as reason. I am so thirsty for the marvelous that only the marvelous has power over me. Anything I can not transform into something marvelous, I let it go. Reality doesn't impress me. I only believe in intoxication, in ecstasy, and when ordinary life shackles me, I escape one way or another. No more walls. Aeneas Nien. It was a pleasure again, Miss Lipton. I look forward to reading your books and your poems, and I thank you so much for joining me here on BBS Radio. I would like to say, yes, it was beautiful. Everyone, do have a beautiful day. Until next time, stay safe, get your shots, and enjoy your day. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.